Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
But tonight is opening night for the Bulls on the road against the Pelicans.
In New Orleans.
And they might be without Zion Williamson. Bulls have to have this one tonight.
It's kind of wild because obviously Lonzo Ball is listed as available.
And they go to Lonzo Ball, right side three, good. We have a tie ball game at 17. Lonzo Ball, this is first made bucket, folks. Since January 14th of 2022.
Be nice to win a game, but I think we all understand the position the Bulls are in.
Which what is that?
Position of change.
Dalen Terry is going to dribble it out, ball game over. New Orleans with a big time second half, playing without Zion Williamson and Trey Murphy come away with a opening night win over the Bulls, 123-111.
They are no longer in contention for a play-in spot.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
In New Orleans. Gonna tell you what I'm doing, dude.
Let's go.
Oh, well, in New Orleans, they done did bad. Wow, Mr. David, your Chicago Bulls, not quite. Looking as good as we might have hoped. Woo!
Morning, Molly. Yeah, Thursday morning, the morning after the Bulls open their season with a dud.
Yeah.
With a thud, a clunker, look away, all the things apply. That was really a disappointing opening night for the Bulls. High expectations. Well, I think every opener, every beginning of a season, there's a sense of hope and optimism. You heard it from Zach LaVine before the game. And then they go out and they were careless with the basketball.
Well, that's...
They didn't really put up the three-pointers at the rate that they had in preseason, and they couldn't defend anybody. So they go down to the Pelicans, and now a tough stretch to start the season seems a little bit tougher.
What was more disappointing, the 20 turnovers or the 10 of 39 threes?
I think the turnovers. I think the turnovers because you figure the threes, you're on the road, maybe that'll come. You were looking for more of a style adjustment, and if they wanted to get into that pace, you'll figure that would come. The turnovers are inexcusable. The three-point shooting, you figure maybe that'll come, they'll get hot. We saw it in the preseason a little bit better. But I don't understand how this team that was careless with the basketball last year is the same type of team again, so it seems.
They don't have much, okay? They don't look for Vooch very much, so you don't see him doing a lot. They were turning the ball over. They had one good stretch in the game. They had one really nice stretch in the game where Zach LaVine got red hot.
Oh, he had 19 in the first half.
Right before halftime.
Yeah.
And then that went away. I fear he's the only guy on the team that can make his own shot.
I think that he can create his own shot. He doesn't need to get in any sort of offensive, you know, scheme, and nobody needs to get him open necessarily. He got hot, then he did a heat check, and then he... He had 10 of 17, and he ends up with 27 points. But he had seven turnovers, and he was careless with the basketball.
He was really careless with the ball.
We can talk about it, but to me, the most disappointing player last night was Coby White. And I know that there were others maybe that did their best to look their worst, but Coby White, to me, going 0 for 5 for three-point range, after the kind of rhetoric that we heard about him heading into this season.
Yes.
To open up that way, really disappointing.
Yeah, I don't think he had a very good game. I got to be honest with you. I don't know who had a very good game. I saw Josh Giddey make some layups, But I don't know that that's an offense you want to run.
He puts pressure on the defense by penetrating, and I think that's really something that you didn't expect necessarily, but he did not shoot well. Well, I guess he was 5 for 11, but he didn't shoot a 3 or make a 3. That's the thing. If we are told all preseason that this team is going to be playing a new style of basketball and the analytics and all of the threes that they're going to take, and we put the number on the board and you circle it, it's 45-ish.
48 they averaged in the preseason, right?
They shot 34 last night.
I thought they shot 39, didn't they? They only made 10 of them.
10 of 34.
34, okay.
10 of 34, and Josh Giddey was 0 for 1 from long range. He did take the ball to the basket effectively. He hit some layups, so he's 5 of 11. But
it's just not good.
It's just not good enough.
No.
Patrick Williams takes 7 shots. You're not going to go where you need to go if Patrick Williams is only taking 7 shots. DeMar DeRozan isn't here to blame anymore for getting in the way. Patrick Williams needs to be more aggressive. He only played 24 minutes. So it's very easy to pick apart what went wrong. I think the whole night was a disappointment.
It was a disappointment.
They have to hit reset and hope that against the Bucks. I don't know what you hope against the Bucks.
Yeah, well, I don't think you hope for much. I mean, seriously, Zion Williamson did not play in that game, and that looked like maybe you got a little stay of execution and you got a little relief, and that's a game you kind of had to open. I get it. They're a young team. They're a different team. They're trying to move the ball more. Maybe they can do that at home. I don't have a lot of feel good about this season after watching that game.
It's a tough game to look at and see positives right now. And there's no doubt about that. When you see the difference in everything, intensity even, Javonte Green showed the Bulls how hard they need to play.
Well, that's
Javonte Green for the Pelicans really gave the Bulls a lesson or a reminder or however you want to phrase it. This is what it looks like when somebody's invested in hustle and energy and things that the Bulls just didn't have last night.
I thought that Brandon Ingram pretty much could do whatever he wanted.
He pretty much did.
Yeah.
33 points.
Yeah.
And they described it as a quiet 33. I know what they mean. It was just workmanlike. The guy just kept on hitting shots, 13 to 23.
He seemed open quite a bit. And it seemed even when he was defended, he was open.
And CJ McCollum, effortless from behind the arc, 5 of 11 for three-point range. He had 23. Seemed like he had a louder game because he just kept hitting threes. And nobody could answer for the Bulls. And so you look at a team that was injured, ill, and they still took care of business with the Bulls. And they suffered a bad break. Did you see Murray after the game for them? Broke his left hand.
Yeah, it's hard to believe.
When did that happen?
I don't know.
That's their problem. Bulls have enough.
Yeah, that is their problem. Yeah, there are plenty here, let me tell you. It was not an auspicious opening to the season, without a doubt. And it's a different era, and things are different, and they're going to have to figure out some different solutions.
One bright spot. I'll give you one bright spot. You asked me a question. I think Jalen Smith looked like a guy who can do some things. I think he looked like a guy. What'd he have? 15 points? 15 points, 5 of 8 shooting. He hit a 3. He looked like a guy that you could work in. Good rotational piece. Vooch had 21 and 10. 21 and 11. He had a double-double, kind of just being ignored. He got a double-double.
He didn't seem to get the ball. It was crazy.
Vooch is open. That's okay. I'm going to chuck up a 3 because this is our new style of play.
Yeah,
I know the man is open, but I'm going to shoot with a hand in my face and miss. Frustrating night. Imagine how Billy Donovan felt. Although coaches are trained to look at the big picture, kind of settle in for the long haul. But if you were excited going into the game last night as a Bulls fan, I think you were deflated at the end of it.
Yes, I agree with that. I felt deflated by the end of it. I did. There was that brief little moment where Zach was playing well, and I thought, maybe they got a chance here. Maybe they got something going, but it didn't last, and it certainly didn't hold. I don't think I felt that way coming out. I felt like even when he was hot, like almost outside their offense.
Yes,
almost
he was.
Like they were taking turns.
No,
it's his turn.
It was like, I'm feeling it.
Yes.
I'm going to shoot it. No passes. That's okay. This is the offense.
Yeah. I hit another three. I'm feeling it. I'm going to come down. And somehow the ball is slapped and it's floating around up there. What happened there? It was just too many turnovers.
Lonzo Ball first basket in 33 months in a regular season game.
That was nice.
That was a nice moment.
Yeah.
And you like to see him on the court, 14 minutes for Lonzo. He will likely play Friday instead of Saturday, or are they going to rest him Friday and play him Saturday?
I think they'll play him at home. So I think you'll see him if Friday's a home opener.
Oh, great. No, Saturday's a home opener. So they're not going to play against the Bucks.
Oh, boy.
Boy.
Yeah. I just thought out of the two games, maybe play at home.
I want to go back and start the season over, though, so we can still say nice things about Talen Horton Tucker, because he had a tough night. He had a tough night. That was not the preseason version.
Well, you know.
It just looked a little rough.
I don't think.
Looked a little rough, a little rugged. He looked like a guy that was.
Local guy made good.
I know.
It's not like they were using him a lot. How many minutes did he play?
Seven.
Yeah.
They seemed to stand out.
Yeah, it wasn't good.
It's a little rugged there. And then Buzelis.
Boy, that first shot.
Shaky shooting.
Holy cow.
Was he nervous, you think?
The shank? His first shot?
Yes.
Oh, yeah,
a little shaky. Little shaky.
Yeah, it was a little shaky.
He had to be nervous. There had to be some anxiety going on there.
It might have been the haircut.
I don't think it was the haircut.
Know. Maybe when he grows it out, it'd be okay.
But they weren't going to see what they had in him because he only played 5 minutes.
Well, after that first shot he took.
It's like, no.
Not a surprise that he only played 5 minutes.
Here's the map to Hoffman Estates.
What? Yeah, exactly. Have a van pick him up in New Orleans.
You're going to Uber to the G League.
That's being mean.
That is being mean.
Yeah. No, we got a lot of hope for that kid.
The rotation was 11 deep. We saw 11 guys using the rotation, one more than we thought, but that was THT getting involved. So we'll see. It's only one game. We don't want to overreact. I think we just did. But
yeah, we totally overreacted, and we got a little carried away. So let's calm down.
Bears
are back in practice.
Yep.
Bears were back, and the vibe was apparently nice. The vibe's back. They got a good vibe.
How do you measure such things?
I don't know. I just read somewhere on Twitter that
you have a vibometer. This should be good.
They had a good vibe.
Off week, coming off a 3-game win streak.
Healthier,
back to work. They had, how many days off did they have? Goodness sakes.
They weren't healthy enough, though. They're not healthy enough. They're healthier.
They're mentally healthy.
But they're not healthy.
They're enough. In a good frame of mind. They're not healthy in the secondary.
No. Well, they're healthier. I mean, they had...
Stop with the healthier. What
I'm
do you mean?
Healthier.
They're not healthy enough.
Well, I mean, yes.
Healthier than what?
Healthier than they were going into the last game.
Kyler Gordon,
yeah,
Jaquan Brisker did not practice.
That's the two unhealthy guys.
Okay.
But you got a limited practice from Tyreek Stevenson, from Terrell Smith was back, another corner.
Great. On.
Why don't you be happy about that?
I am happy about that. I am not basing...
Zach Pickens.
Woo-hoo.
Limited practice. We haven't seen him in ages.
That's awesome.
You had Larry Borum back. The long snapper practice.
Scott Daly.
Why aren't you happy about
I'm
that?
I'm very happy about that.
And they're healthier, not healthy
I'm
enough.
Fixated on the two guys who will make the biggest impact on Sunday if they play.
And Travis Homer also back. They started the clock on Travis Homer... And Larry Borum, but not yet on Ryan Bates.
No, he's not back on the practice field.
But maybe next week.
Okay. Bated breath, I will wait with.
Okay.
I think
they're healthier, but not healthy.
I'm really most concerned about the two guys who will make the biggest impact on the Commanders' offense, and that's Jaquan Brisker and Kyler Gordon. And I don't have a good feeling about either guy based on the fact they missed Wednesday's practice after having all those days off.
Apply that to the quarterback.
Same.
Jaden Daniels.
Same.
Okay.
Don't you think so? I mean, Jaden Daniels did not practice in Washington. Now, they could be just waiting, erring on the side of caution. But first of all, Marcus Mariota addressed reporters.
Yes.
Not that it's a big thing, but certainly like a guy who's in charge.
Well,
and is planning to play.
He practiced.
Yes.
But he also spoke to the media.
Yes.
The thing with me, and I want to get your take on this, and we can talk about it later, but I wonder if a rookie quarterback who doesn't practice on Wednesday, if he can't go today, if he's not at least limited today, how does he play on Sunday?
That's a very good question.
Can a rookie quarterback be limited or fully practice on a Friday and be ready to go on Sunday?
I think if you are Joe Burrow, if you are Lamar Jackson, if you are a veteran even who has been through the game week routine on a regular basis for several years, the answer would be, yeah, sure, no problem. If you're a rookie still finding your way and developing your habits and rituals as a professional quarterback, I think that it's harder to ask. And maybe from a coaching standpoint, if you're Dan Quinn, it's a question you don't want to have to ask.
If he doesn't practice today, then the week-to-week thing kicks in.
I think that's true.
And you start thinking about the next week.
Yeah.
That's just the reality of his situation.
Best case scenario for Washington is that he's limited today.
Yes.
And maybe goes full tomorrow. But if he's not full on Friday even, I think that there would be some reluctance on their part to play him on Sunday. Because I think a couple things factor in. Number one, the rookie thing that we're talking about. But secondly, you can't discount the opponent. And this defense, any NFL defense is going to be a challenge. But this one specifically, if you're compromised against the Bears defense as a quarterback, you could be in a world of hurt.
Yes.
And make a bad situation worse. So I think it's a good point. And being him being a rookie, that status matters this week.
And he's going to be able to take mental reps. He's not. It's not like he can't think the game and he can't watch the game and he can't. He's not there. But I just wonder about the practicality of a rookie player at that position that doesn't get any reps during the week. I would not be holding my breath.
It also probably simplifies their offense if he does go. And there are going to be things that he would not have been able to practice in the course of the game plan implementation, which happened and began yesterday. So, yeah, the Bears could be catching a break. Now, we'll talk about this during the pick six and throughout the show, but like the positives and negatives, I don't think that there are any negatives. If Jaden Daniels can't play, that is a good thing and a break for the Bears.
I listen, as we have said, there is a hierarchy. There's a reason that you start one guy over another. And not only was this guy starting, but he was pretty stellar. He's played very well to open his NFL career. And I think it's nonsense to feel that, oh, the rookie matchup.
I want
the rookie matchup.
How is it that every Bears fan becomes a television executive when they're looking at the injury report? Yeah.
Take it and run like a thief in the night. That's
nobody's going to care how you get the 10 victories.
That's right.
If you get the 10 victories.
Yeah. Take any advantage you can get and just hope you take advantage of that. The opportunity presents itself.
Send flowers.
Yes.
Send whatever you want. Send a thank you card.
Yeah, there you go.
If he doesn't play, that's a break.
I mean, listen, he's the better player, which is why he's playing. And Mariota is to be concerned with and dealt with, no question about it. He's not a bum. He was once a second overall draft pick as well.
He was once a very good quarterback.
Yes, he was.
And he's had some good moments in the NFL. He could have another one on Sunday.
And he had a good one last week.
The odds are that you have a better chance to win if you're the Bears if Marcus Mariota is playing and Jaden Daniels is not.
That is a priori fact. Yes. I will take that as fact. Did you see your guy Bryce Young is going to start?
I saw that. You know, I have very mixed feelings about that because I think Bryce Young at some point in time was going to have to get another chance because of the state that franchise is in. But boy, Andy Dalton, you can look at what he has been through. A car accident with his family in the car.
Wild. Down in Charlotte.
Yeah.
Right?
It just, fortunate it wasn't worse. You hate to see him affected by this in terms of his availability.
Yeah.
But a really bizarre story down there.
It was so weird because when the accident happened, did it happen on Monday? Or did it happen on Tuesday? I don't remember. But I remember reading on Twitter, no one was hospitalized. Like, no one had to go to the hospital.
Right.
No one had to seek medical care. Like, well, that's great. But, you know, are the kids okay? Are they a little traumatized?
Might be a little shaken up.
I think it'd be
mentally a difficult week in the Dalton household. Imagine he injured his thumb. Was that what it was? He's got a thumb injury.
Apparently a thumb.
So this probably makes a lot of sense for Andy Dalton. Difficult week. So Bryce Young gets another chance. And Now he's got to take advantage. Difficult circumstance, though, because they have given up on him. He's on a bad team, and now he goes back to being a starter. And that can't be – that doesn't sound like it's conducive for success.
Well, I think it's also the way in which he was benched and the way in which he played before that. And he's also done some mop-up duty since then. The idea of him now, it's not like, here you go, now, I'll show you. It's more like, no. Like,
they are reluctantly turning to him.
I'm very shaken in my confidence, can you tell?
You are shaken in your confidence, and you are our best option because the starter is shaken because he had a car accident. And we're only going to you because this qualifies as an emergency.
Gosh.
Go.
Yeah.
Go win the game.
Get it done.
So that's
he once should have been a second draft pick.
He really should have been the second overall
pick. But unfortunately, he was taken first.
Yeah, he definitely was taken first. C.J. Stroud taken second. He had a tough game last week. I'm curious to see how little brother rebounds this week against whoever they're playing, the Houston Texans. C.J. Stroud did not go into Lambeau and do what he was supposed to do. Very surprised by that. So all these, you know, that's a difficult position to master, and I think we're finding out. C.J. Stroud, year two.
Speaking of Lambeau, did you notice who's hanging around there these days?
Yes, we're going to get to that. That's a good pick six topic.
Okay.
Robert Saleh joining his buddy Matt LaFleur in Green Bay on purpose.
He was the best man at his wedding.
Yes, I know. He was the best man at his wedding, but he's also getting paid by the Jets. And he just can't stay away from football?
I think he's a lifer. I think he's a football guy.
Doesn't he have like six kids?
I think he's got a pretty big crew.
So is that... I don't know.
I think, what are the rules of marriage, honey?
Does he have seven kids?
I'm going to work during the football season and you'll have to watch the
maybe,
kids.
Maybe, but he's got like a front seven. That's his family. Like, he's got seven kids.
Does he really?
I think he does. And so... Now he's going to go, I'll be back. I'm going to Green Bay. I'll see you next month.
Can't he bring them with him? Are they presumably in school or are they younger?
I don't know.
And if they're younger, shouldn't he be having a nanny to change some diapers if he can't do it himself?
I'm not quite sure. Robert and Saleh, his wife's name is apparently Sanaa. Would you say Sanaa Saleh? Have seven children, five sons, and two daughters.
Any age?
I'm not quite sure about that.
Okay. It's not godforsaken yet in Green Bay. It's okay there until the first frost.
Let's just look at it here. I know, and I'm the one usually defending the smaller city, like the intermediate city, right? Because of your international cosmopolitan ways. So Robert Saleh worked in San Francisco.
Yes.
Went to New York.
Yes.
Now he's got some time on his hands. He could travel if he wanted to. He's getting paid not to work. Where am I going to spend the fall? I think I'll go to Green Bay.
Yeah.
I'll go from San Francisco to New York to Green Bay in the Cheddar Curtain. Behind the Cheddar Curtain, as Dustin likes to say.
This is a true story, and I will tell you it again, and I've told this to you before. I was in Green Bay for a week when they went to the Super Bowl the first time in forever with Brett Favre, and I got a cup of coffee at the hotel, and I drove over, and I had like maybe this much and the bottom of the cup, and I left it in the car. And when I came after a day there talking to people, you know, doing all the football writing stuff.
Yeah, all the football writing stuff.
I came out, and this styrofoam cup in my car was frozen solid. There was a block of ice where once had been some kind of cold coffee. And I literally muttered to myself, like, this is godforsaken. I used the word godforsaken because hell had frozen over.
But it really isn't that cold yet. So I guess I could see.
It was in that, I believe it was January.
My sense would be that if this were December or January, Robert Saleh would not be bumping into Matt LaFleur at the Packers complex in Green Bay.
Exactly. I just, I went back to the hotel and then the Indian casino and just made the most of it.
Oh, I guess that's...
But it was horrible.
That's what one does when one is stuck in Green Bay during an ice storm.
And it wasn't even a storm. It was just frozen
during
over.
During the glacial period.
That's it?
Yeah.
I saw a woolly mammal.
Those are not warm memories.
No, they're not. But that happened, and that guy has chosen that life. God bless him.
Yeah, God bless him. Yeah. You know, back to Aaron Rodgers. Maybe Aaron Rodgers hasn't sold his house yet. He's staying in Aaron Rodgers' old house. They're buddies, right?
Oh, I don't know.
They shared a hug and said goodbye.
Oh, they didn't do
that. And he gave him the key to his old place and said, okay, go hang out with the flower.
Yeah. So there's a couple of those. If he's got seven kids, a couple must be in school, so he can't bring the crew with him. Couldn't he take the bottom two?
I would not think so.
Couldn't the bottom three go with him?
I kind of think that has something to do with him evacuating his house.
He's got a bunch of little kids on like a leash as he's out there screaming at the football team.
Robert Saleh, who used to sleep at his office at the Jets headquarters, moved to Green Bay. He has seven children.
Yeah. Wow. All right, we've got the pick six next. We're going to get to all the stories of the day. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Four.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
What stood out the most about the Bills' season opening game down in New Orleans? How much did the offensive style of play resemble what Billy Donovan is looking for?
I don't think it resembled it too much. I think that they were looking to be a lot, just based on what I watched in the preseason versus what I saw yesterday, I think they were looking to be a lot faster, and I think that they were looking for getting shots up quicker, and I think that they would prefer to make a three as opposed to not making very many of them. And I really felt that at different points, like they didn't seem to be getting the ball to Vooch. In fact, I think Stacy was kind of yelling at different points. He's open. Like he was kind of. He seemed like he was going to come out.
He was yelling at Zach at one point.
Oh, yeah. Get the ball. Get the ball to him. But, yeah, I think it's a work in progress. It did not look good. There's no way around it, and all the things that we kind of feared. I was surprised by the number of turnovers, and you're not going to win many games being a high-volume shooting, scoring team if you are turning the ball over at that pace. So they turned the ball over far too much, and they didn't shoot well. Other than that, it went perfectly as planned.
Yeah, perfect. I mean, what exactly does Patrick Williams do for a living? I mean,
he starts slow.
24 minutes, 2 for 7 shooting, 6 whole points, three whole rebounds, and you paid that guy? You can't shoot 34 threes and expect to win. That's not what he said. That's not even what they did in the preseason. It's almost like, Billy, are you upset that they shot as few of threes as they did? That's way under the average, what they did in the preseason, and way less than they shot the last preseason game. What, 53 attempts? They should add 30 in the half. I mean, Zach had one nice half. Max LaVine.
Golf clap from Dustin. I thought after the first half we were going to be having a very different conversation this morning.
I'm sure you did.
And I was ready and preparing my... Zach LaVine got off to an ideal start after missing so much time, and then he was careless with the basketball in the second half, as everybody was. All of this talk about the pace of play and the Bulls are in great condition so they can go 10 deep, maybe 11, because of the way they're going to get up and down and chuck up the threes and all those things. It's not even about the pace of play. The pace of play doesn't matter if you're going at a breakneck pace and you're throwing the ball away. Protect the basketball. It's like the oldest adage in basketball, whether it's high school, college, or the NBA. You can't commit 21 turnovers and give up 30 points off those turnovers and expect to feel good about anything. So that was what stood out the most to me, is that as much as the Bulls want to pick up the pace, they're not able to do it because they can't hold on to the ball. Kobe White was disappointing, didn't hit a three-pointer as he enters his breakthrough season. And I just feel like 34 threes, it felt like last year. This felt like the 83rd game from last season.
You know, I've been asked that question before.
Now that the Bulls have the opener against the Pelicans out of the way, what will their record be after their first five games? How much did last night's loss change your projections?
Well, I thought they were going to win last night, so I'm going to have to adjust my predictions and projections because I don't know. I'll say 1-4. I thought they could be 2-3. I don't know which one they win. Let's just say Memphis, because Bucks and the Thunder, that's a bad weekend. I mean, just start planning your weekend around the Bulls' losses now. I don't see how they win Friday night against the Bucks. Did you see what Dame Lillard did last night? Welcome back. How about Bobby Portis' crazy eyes? He's good again. And Giannis, goodness sakes, the Bucks are good. I mean, the score has learned. The Bucks are good. Hey, by the way, so is OKC. They're going to face two of the best teams in their respective conferences on back-to-back nights, and they won't have a full contingent because Lonzo Ball can't play in both those games. So I think it's the weekend feels over before it's begun. Sorry. And then maybe they squeeze one out in Memphis and then they return home against the Magic, and I believe in Magic, so I think that the Bulls are in trouble. 1-4.
They won't win a game in October. Their first win,
it's like the Cubs,
will be November 1st at the Nets. That's their first win. And it's all because of what I saw last night. Can we readjust our season picks?
Yeah, right.
Well, I mean, under.
Listen, I mean, this is classic overreaction from one game. I can't believe you're doing this. I'm definitely going under 28.5 for the year, and I'm going 0-5.
I hear. Wow. You too?
No shadow of a doubt.
Oh, man.
Did you watch that game?
Oh, for October.
Man, oh, for October.
What a month in Chicago. What a month.
I just didn't see anything to build on. I didn't. I'm sorry. They got a single player, Zach LaVine, who can create his own shot. And man, when he decides to do it, he's just going to do it. And he was turning the ball over too. So I don't think so. First of all, they're not going to beat the Bucks. Secondly, OKC. They're championship caliber now. They got rid of the Bulls' leader on offense. It's running their offense. They got better as a result of it. And don't they still have like 75 picks or something? They own like the first five.
Yeah, Sam Presti knows what he's
doing.
Oh,
God. My goodness. Help.
They're giddy in OKC.
Yeah, I'm not talking necessarily about a pick six or something like that.
That's the voice of Brad Biggs. He's here at 7. 7 is Biggs time. Neither Washington, the quarterback there, Jaden Daniels, nor the Chicago safety, Shaquan Brisker, practiced Wednesday, raising doubts about their availability Sunday. Which drop-off to their respective backup is bigger? Is it too early to suggest that neither will play on Sunday?
I think the drop-off at quarterback is bigger because it's the quarterback, just because it's every play. That doesn't mean I don't like Marcus Mariota. I thought he played very well last week, and we talked about the idea that we played the clip from Terry McLaughlin, that McLaren, that they do not change what they're doing, and he can come in and he can RPO it, and he can be a similar type of player, and he played very well. It was against Carolina. So I'm not saying that that matters, but I think that Jaquan Brisker is a safety, and I think that they have a guy that, what will it be, his 10th start this week in place of Jaquan Brisker or with the Bears as a safety. So I think they're in a good position to get through it. They also have good coaching in the secondary, and I think that, you know, he's not running the entire team, so it'll be a little bit easier. Yeah, I unfortunately, as much as I like Mariota, I got to say the drop-off is bigger whenever you're talking about a second quarterback.
Well, I'm going to push back and disagree a little bit. Mariota has started 74 games in this league.
Yes.
That's a lot of games. So, I mean, he's also going to get every rep this week in practice. That's what starting quarterbacks get.
And he had none before last week.
Right. And he looked like a guy who just slid right into that offense.
He looked good.
Now, I get it. They played maybe an NCAA team. You know, they played a Division II team in the Panthers. So I get the tap the brakes on all of that. I just think this is more of a question about, do I think the Bears can survive this game without Brisker? Yes, I do. But I think from a drop-off standpoint, moving forward, I think the safety position is bigger for the Bears than it is for the Commanders. Because Jaden Daniels has started 4 games, right? And he hasn't gotten through 5 games yet. So
I think it's an interesting dilemma or comparison, because I almost feel like if you factor in Kyler Gordon as well, and you go Gordon and Brisker and their absence, will that be felt more than Jaden Daniels' absence? I think that could be the argument. I think that could be
that,
where
that is not the question.
I know. I'm adding that to it. If it's one for one, it's kind of a toss up. But I do think that the point of maybe looking at that or discussing it is that this is not anything to take lightly if you're the Bears, because the secondary for the second week in a row would be going in with relying on depth. And even more so than it did in London, because Gordon started that game, then he left it. And I have respect for Elijah Hicks. I have respect for I think that you look at their Jalen Jones led him in tackles. All the things you can look at as good signs for depth. I just don't know if you're going to have that kind of impact. Whereas Marcus Mariota, even against, though it was the Panthers, he looked the part. And he looked like he's not going to try to do too much. So I would call this almost a standoff. But I will say this. Jaden Daniels, when healthy, was an MVP candidate through 6 games. And when you take him out of the mix, you feel better about your chances if you're the Bears. So I'm going to say the drop-off is greater when you change quarterbacks.
Yeah, it's a good question.
Which do you think the Bears would rather play? A banged up Jaden Daniels or a healthy Marcus Mariota?
I think that they could, as a defense, talk yourself into playing the rookie who's hurt, playing the rookie who hasn't necessarily played hurt in the NFL against a defense like this. And you could talk yourself into that, but you always want to see the backup. you always want to see the backup because there's a reason why he is on his fifth team. There's a reason why he hasn't started more than 74 games after being the number two overall pick. There's a reason why Marcus Mariota is well-traveled and is a guy who is filling in at this stage of his career as still a relatively young man, because he is a backup, and you'd always rather see that guy. So you could make the argument that banged up Jaden Daniels would be a more welcome sight if you're the Bears defense, but you would be fooling yourself. You want to see Marcus Mariota, even if he is one of the better backups in the league.
Nah, you want to play a banged up Jaden Daniels who is not doing well and has not taken many reps at practice, has played four games and change in the NFL. That's who you want to play.
That there was speculation that Jaden Daniels is as fast as Tyreek Hill. Have you heard that? Apparently, he was timed on a touchdown run earlier this year. He was clocked at 21.8 miles per hour. Okay? To put that in perspective,
wow.
In 2020, Lamar Jackson ran 20.64 miles per hour and 20.52 miles per hour on two touchdown runs. And that was the fastest we've seen in a long time. And apparently, Jaden Daniels faster than that guy. So I don't want to see him. No, that's too fast, frankly. And I think that, you know, that's, you're getting into like Justin Fields, a guy that can run like Justin Fields, sprint like top speed like Justin, only he can throw better.
He can throw it. And he's been accurate.
So
he's been wildly accurate.
Banged up means what exactly? Banged up means like, oh, he can't breathe, so he can't run. Okay, well, then you want to play him. Oh, his ribs hurt a little bit, but he's got a flak jacket on, and they shot him up, and he's fine. I think I'd prefer Marcus Mariota. That's no offense to anyone, because I think Marcus Mariota played great last week. But he's, you know, he's a backup now.
You also wonder about the emotional charge it would be if Jaden Daniels, after not practicing much this week, returns, and they would get a boost from that.
All of a sudden, he's running 21 miles an hour?
Or at least 21.5.
First, I ask questions.
Flak jacket.
What did you make of Caleb Williams' answer to the question whether he ever allows himself to get caught up in storylines?
No. My job is to go win games on Thursdays, Sundays, and Mondays. So that's it.
That's it, huh? You believe him?
Love hearing from that kid. I love everything he says. I love when he's on the sideline. No, I never get nervous. It was the same kind of reaction. He just keeps everything in perspective. This is not about him and some other quarterback or who got drafted. He's the quarterback of the Bears. His job is to win games for the Bears on Mondays, Sundays, Thursdays. I mean, that's a great answer. And yeah, I believe him. I believe that is his job. And I believe that if you can somehow strip down what you do that way, that makes your life a hell of a lot easier. I think he's had great training over the course of his life, and he knows how to just strip things down to what the basic element is. And that's how he's thinking about it, and that's what he's doing. And even when he is fantasized about winning eight Super Bowls or doing whatever those dreams are, in order to get there, you got to get it down to what the basic issue is right now. I got to win the game. I don't have to throw for 300 yards. I don't need seven touchdowns. I have to win the game. And I love hearing from him.
I like hearing from him. I like that approach. I don't think he cares about the stats. I think he cares about the W, but I do think he cares about going home. I do think he cares about this potential rivalry with him and Jaden Daniels. I do think Caleb wants Jaden on the field, and I think he wants to beat them, just like all Chicago Bears fans. But I think maybe the definition of storyline from one person to another is a little bit different, right? By definition, I disagree with him. He cares about going home. Talked about how many tickets he bought. talked about how he hasn't been back there, talked about how important that city was to his upbringing.
Yeah.
So he that's a storyline, and he cares. He might not get caught up in the Cliff Kingsbury thing like I'd like to get caught up in it, but I think he cares about the going home, and I definitely think he cares about a potential rivalry if the Commanders – how about the stat, right? The first time since 1991 that these two teams have played and had winning records.
That's amazing, really. I think the spirit of the question is always toward do you care about this, or does it affect you, these storylines, to the point where it's a distraction? And I think what he was answering quickly was that, no.
Yes.
I'm not fazed by this. No. Yes. I'm never going to be fazed by something like this, yes, because I have one job. And the way that I determine and dictate and define my role is by winning. And I love that. I love that about the kid.
I agree.
So I push back a little bit. Some people have said, well, you know, Jordan used to find the slightest thing and then build an edge. And Tom Brady had a list of things. Well, you know what? This isn't that. I don't really think this is that at all. This is just a guy who is consistent with, he is not going to let something faze him.
And I think he's right. Maybe he does care. Maybe it is important to him. But he knows that that will not help his performance.
It's not going to factor in.
You strip it down, you take it away, and you go to the basics. And that's what I love.
It matters to him because he's human.
Yes.
It matters to him because he's honest about the fact that, yeah, he went to high school here, and there are always going to be things that you have to deal with. But as far as getting caught up in the storylines, one versus two, and the homecoming of Caleb, and all of the things, and Cliff Kingsbury's presence, and no. I love that answer. His job is to win on Thursdays, Sundays, and Mondays. Yeah, I thought, well, what if they play a playoff game on a Saturday?
Oh, boy.
Putting that one in my back pocket.
This will be a pick six. There's your ball game.
What do you think of the Packers coach, Matt LaFleur, the Flower, as we like to call him here, adding fired Jets head coach Robert Saleh as a offensive assistant? In LaFleur's words, how must Packers DC Jeff Hafley feel about this move?
I love this story. If you're Jeff Hafley, you have to wonder, why is that Robert Saleh I saw down the hallway? Why is he watching tape? Why is he talking to my free safety? I don't know how you bring in a guy like Robert Saleh, defensive coach, former defensive coordinator, defensive expert, and try to pass him off as an offensive consultant. I understand it helps to have maybe an outside perspective, evaluate what things are about your offensive self-scouting aspect of it. I get it. It's a football guy. But I do think that your Packer defense, everything's going right. Your defense is one of the biggest reasons you are where you are. Hafley's done a terrific job in transforming that group. They've got 10 first-round draft picks, I think, on the roster. Goodness sakes, I don't blame Saleh for wanting to be a part of it. But it's got to create a little bit of a stir, doesn't it? And I also like the backstory with LaFleur and Robert Saleh. I know you'll love this, Dustin, because they both worked together in 2004 on Brian Kelly's staff in Central Michigan, and they were the guys invited to Brian Kelly's holiday party to shovel the driveway.
Yeah, valet, right? Yes. Shovel the driveway. Yeah, I do love that story. Remember that story. Listen, if your best man was out of work and you had the ability to add him to your place of business, wouldn't you do that?
You make it sound like he's unemployed and destitute and like going to be living paycheck to paycheck.
No, you said that. I didn't. He's unemployed. There's a difference. Out of sight, out of mind. Robert Saleh doesn't have like a big personality. He doesn't. So he's not a guy like, he's not a guy that CBS or Fox or the NFL Network or, you know, Chicago Sports Network is going to pull into the studio and have him break down games on Sundays, Thursdays, and Mondays like Caleb Williams goes out and wins games for. So he needs to be involved. He's got to have his foot in a door. Let him in. And maybe this defensive coordinator will work even harder. So what? But you got to keep Saleh around. Now, if in 2 weeks or if the first game the Bears and Packers play, if Robert Saleh is addressing the media as the defensive coordinator of the Packers, now that would be bad, right? Like if he fired or demoted his defensive coordinator to elevate. But again, he's out of work. If you guys are going to be okay with LeBron and Bronny's situation, there's nothing wrong with this situation.
Apples, oranges.
No. Mm-mm. Same.
Totally different.
No. Robert Saleh's actually done something in this league to deserve a job in this league.
I honestly believe that Robert Saleh is a really good coach, and I think that he can help. They call it a fluid role. In other words, he's coming in and working with the offense initially, which is the sort of thing that maybe you want to do if you feel like you're a defensive guy and you got fired. Didn't Mike Nolan coach wide receivers 1 year, and that helped his credibility as a defensive guy, and he became a head coach with the Niners? It just might be something for Robert Saleh to do while he's done with this football season. And so their best buds, Halfley and the Flower, are also real tight. So I don't think he has anything to worry about. It's easy for me to say. Maybe you just need a buddy to come in so the two of you can go out and have a drink and badmouth a certain quarterback together.
Maybe
could it be as simple as that?
They bonded over their struggles in coaching Aaron Rodgers.
You know, I could see that. I think Saleh's a really good, solid coach.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind having him around. When the Bears got rid of the defensive coordinator, didn't they hire some guy that was breaking
Phil
down? Phil Snow.
We never saw him. I don't think he exists, actually.
Again.
I don't think he exists.
But they got better, maybe because Felucci's so good, or maybe Snow
but
did.
But Phil Snow wasn't
incredible.
In the building.
No,
he was
no,
working
no.
remotely.
No, but I'm just saying.
You know, in this town.
I think it's tough for the defensive coordinator, but if he is as good a friend with the head coach as has been talked about, I don't think it'll be a problem. And I think that the Flower will be. He's just thinking, this guy's a really good coach. I'd like to have him around me. He's my buddy. We talk all the time anyway. Wouldn't it be great to get my insight, his insight together in the room? I don't know. It doesn't bother me. I don't think it makes him necessarily better, but I don't think it makes him worse.
I don't think it makes him worse, but if the Packers defense gives up 27 points in a loss this Sunday, you know how it works in the NFL. You know how these things can mushroom into bigger stories than they need to be. Distractions. We always talk about them. You're looking at one potential distraction when you invite Robert Saleh into the mix.
Coaches get along with coaches. It'll be fine.
Okay. How would we handle it in Chicago? We would be losing our minds.
No, not necessarily. I mean, you know, here's in Chicago, we'd say, can Saleh take over for Flusie?
Don't you remember when Brad Childress came in as a friend of Matt Nagy, and because of his connection and how it made everybody a little bit uncomfortable, and he certainly did. But nonetheless, it's an interesting thing to keep an eye on.
It's interesting to keep an eye on. I'm with you. I don't think it's going to be a major problem, but, you know, it's weird. Seven kids. All right. We got the extra point next. It's Mully and all.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
On the score.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the Extra Point with Mullion Haugh on 670 The Score.
The Commanders are third in the league in rushing yards per game. The Bears' defense struggles most against the run. Despite all the focus on the quarterback matchup, is this going to come down to a game where the Bears must stop the run? And if so, how much of that Washington running success is because of the legs of Jaden Daniels?
Well, we've seen this movie before in Chicago. The Bears lead the league in rushing because last season Justin Fields was their most dynamic rusher. And in Washington, the same thing applies. Jaden Daniels is averaging 53 rushing yards per game. The Commanders as a team averaging 165. That's third in the NFL. And that's got to be priority one for the Bears. Otherwise, you would expect, whether it's Marcus Mariota, likely, or Jaden Daniels, unlikely, but possible, they have two good running backs. Brian Robinson and Austin Eckler, a really good combination. And you look at Brian Robinson is averaging 4.7 yards per carry, 396 rushing yards. He's their number one guy. But Eckler can hurt you in a variety of ways, out of the backfield in the passing game, short passing game. But also, he's pretty shifty running the ball. This has got to be something that we can't overlook when evaluating how the Bears are going to do against this team. It's been one of the bigger surprises in the NFC. So don't forget or sleep on the running game for the Commanders. That sets up everything else. If Jaden Daniels plays, the sense would be that he's not going to be as big of a part of that running game because of his ribs. You don't want to extend plays. You don't want to expose him to that kind of potential injury. So they will be at less than capacity in the run game. But don't underestimate Brian Robinson. This is a team that if they can get the running game going, the play-action pass game will come next with Mariota if he's playing. And this has got to be a big concern for Matt Eberflus.
Well, this takes us back to the third question of the pick six, whether Jaden Daniels or Jaquan Brisker are a bigger issue. And again, I think the Bears are taking a step down. And Brisker is a guy that intimidates, and some will say he's the straw that stirs the Bears' defensive drink, if you will. Mm-hmm. So if the running game is going to be a thing for the Commanders without Brisker in there, that could be an issue come Sunday.
The Bears, you know, I get it. Like, their run defense hasn't been as good as their pass defense or their or their red zone defense or whatever element of their defense you want to look at. But they are they're doing pretty well in terms of the entire league. You know, I don't know where they rank at it, but it seems like teams aren't able to stay with the run against them because of the way that they have been able to score some points, especially of late. So It's always going to be a concern. You're always going to want to be able to stop the run. But they're kind of bend, don't break a little bit, the way they've played, especially in the red zone. And I think that they're the problem with balance for every team exists. And this is a balanced offense, but it's balanced because the quarterback can run as well as he does. The guy ran like 4.35 40, I believe, on his pro day, and I think he, you know, just as a measure of athleticism, I think he had a 42-inch vertical. So it does, what that tells you, obviously you don't jump and you don't fly when you're running, but it tells you he's an unbelievable athlete. That is an incredible thing to be able to jump like that. And so if a guy can run fast and is a great athlete, that's going to make it very difficult. His yards are coming obviously on the edges, and the other yards you worry about are more in the interior. But he is gonna improve their statistics immensely by being able to run outside.
This also is probably one of the better offensive lines the Bears have faced, because they went out and they did supplement through free agency. They worked at it. It was a priority to them.
Yeah.
So that's something that you wonder in terms of whether it's pass protection or establishing the run, running downhill. If they can control the line of scrimmage, this could be a game that goes at
a pace.
They're
not a great defense.
That's the thing.
And we haven't talked enough about that.
That's how you help your shaky defense is that you control the clock, you move the chains, and you play more of a ball possession, ball control type of game. You make it that way in that style. And I think if that happens, then the Bears are going to be more challenged than they would be if they're getting to the quarterback and stopping the run.
312-644-6767 is the telephone number. I guess we'll talk about the Bulls.
Yeah, we got to talk about the Bulls.
I think we got to get to it.
We got to revisit that a little bit. Yeah, Biggs is coming up at 7.
Where are you at with what you saw yesterday from this team? Or what you heard if you just listened to the game on the
Biggest disappointment last night, what was it?
312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Reeves turned it over at midcourt. Dalen Terry is going to dribble it out. Ball game over. New Orleans with a big-time second half, playing without Zion Williamson and Trey Murphy. Come away with the opening night win over the Bulls, 123-111.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 to the Score. Not quite the start to the season that one was hoping for. But the season is begun.
Yes.
So you got that going for
Disappointing,
you.
No doubt about it. You lose the opener against a Pelicans team. Playing at home, yes, but without Zion Williamson. Most disappointing thing for me from a team perspective, 21 turnovers. The Pelicans score 30 points off those 21 turnovers. Individually, Coby White having as many turnovers as field goals. He was 4-13, turned the ball over 4 times, and he was 0-5. From three-point range. For a guy that is ready and poised, and we talk about him taking that next step, that was a disappointing debut.
312-644-6767. We'll start with Mike. Mike's in Niles. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to talk about a disappointing thing on the court and then off.
Sure.
The big one on the court for me is Patrick Williams. He seems like he just does cardio out there. He gets a couple rebounds a game. A couple shots, and that's about it. But that leads to the bigger one, which is the front office. The front office has been very similar, eerily similar to the past front office in terms of inability to make big moves, get big moves. At least the old front office would draft better. The draft so far has been terrible. Io's a great kid, but he's being asked to do way too much.
Thanks for the phone call. Io didn't have a great game either. Do you think he's being asked to do too much? What is his role on this team? Shoot from three and be the defensive stopper coming off the bench? That's a pretty good fit for his skill set.
He wasn't like a highly drafted player. I mean, Io has exceeded any expectations based on where how he got into the league. I think it's interesting. Like, you know, if Matas Buzelis was ready to start improving, if you felt like they had a guy who was going to be getting better, I think he's more likely, as we kind of joked a little bit about it, but I think he's probably needs more time to develop. So I think he'll wind up in the G League. I don't think he's, you know, I don't know that we're going to see him get better and better. And I think, you know, I was thinking about our conversation yesterday when you were talking about Dalton Connect. And, you know, I don't disagree with the idea of having, like, the one thing you don't have on your roster is shooting. So you want a guy that can shoot, and he's already, like, an established shooter. He's older, but I just don't know how, like, I think I'd feel better about the Bulls if they had a younger player who was improving, which I'm not saying.
As an example.
Buzelis won't do that, but I'm saying they don't really – I look at their team – like, Coby got better. Can he take another step?
Took a while, though.
It took a while.
It took a long time for his player development to kick in.
And that's kind of, I think, what Mike's driving at about the draft, is that you don't – like, you don't want to wait for a guy at 19 to be 22 and, wow, like, he can play. He's really doing well. I that's kind of what the problem is right
now. I don't
now.
Want to overreact to Buzelis in his debut, but it wasn't good, and he looked a little shaky.
It was very quick.
It was very – yeah, he's 4 minutes. He didn't show a lot except for that he wasn't ready to shoot. As for the player development questions, they will persist until we get a more clear example of something that they've done right. Patrick Williams right now is not Exhibit A. he's exhibit A for a disappointing guy who was overdrafted right now. And that's not a good thing.
I gotta watch how I say this, but you know, watching Josh Giddey, like he can't score. He's not a scorer. He can't really shoot. I saw him make some layups.
Other than
but,
that,
but it, but let me. I mean, I just want to make this point, and I know you're gonna chide me, but it's like he missed a shot and he got a rebound and he put it back in, mm-hmm. or the ball kind of bounced. He picked it up. It's I don't want to make that. There's so many differences. Angel Reese is a rebounder and an inside player and a tough, hard-nosed player. But he scored the way she scores, which was on putbacks. It was the fact that he's 6'8" or whatever he is, because he got the ball over a guard and then he scored. I didn't feel like he was knocking down shots.
Well, he was not knocking down shots.
And that's what I'm trying to
say. Yeah, so your point being he was 5 for 11, and there were several of those that were layups.
Yes.
That doesn't bother me yet, because I do think that he at least was putting pressure on the defense to make sure that they respected his ability to drive. And then dish, theoretically, because he's a guy that's a very good passer. What happened last night, he wasn't dishing. He was finishing, and he did that enough to have 5 field goals. The one time where he did miss, he got his rebound back, and they made the comment, oh, it's nice to be 6'8". It is nice to be 6'8". But I think he's got to be somebody who proves to you, it sounds like, that he can hit the open three or hit the open jumper. He's not been that guy yet. And no. I don't know that he's going to suddenly become that guy now.
He doesn't look like that guy. Sean is listening on the Odyssey app. Hey, Sean.
What's going on, gentlemen, from the great state of Maine once again?
Oh, great.
No lobster, Molly, still. Sorry. So talk a little bit about the Bulls. Earlier this morning, you guys said expectations were high. Well, I'm a realist. Expectations aren't really high. I think what's going to end up happening, I hope, is we end up going bad and getting Cooper Flagg. I live up here.
Yeah.
Cooper Flagg's a real deal. And mark my words when I tell you, he might be as good as Wembanyama. Okay?
Wow.
Yeah, that's a laugh. I agree. But I think
he will never be
I
as
think
tall.
I've watched. No, you're right. I think he's going to be almost as good, if not as good. Okay?
Thanks, Sean. Appreciate that.
Yeah.
We'll consider that.
And that's the first of 732 phone calls this season about Cooper Flagg.
Yeah. Well, but I don't know that the Bulls are bad enough to get the number.
I don't think they're that bad.
I think there are some bad teams.
They're disappointing. It was a rough night, but they're not that bad.
Right. We don't want to get carried away. Dustin's nodding.
Did you watch the game last night?
Yeah, I did. All right. We're going to get to our guy. Brad Biggs will join us next. Biggs time on the Score.
Oh, oh, oh. O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.